What is this magic called? Julie and Curtis and Jeff and Bruce. What is this? It's a miracle! The physical miracle of music and talent. Give them another round of applause. Are you having any miracle moments this? I do hear the ice cream truck. It's a miracle. Who expects to hear an ice cream truck in the middle of a Sunday experience, right? And wow. I said that last week, wow. And I have to admit, I'm really used to having great music on Sunday, and this is miraculous, like above, over and above, and really gets me remembering like that line in the song, a song that now I'm going to go listen to over and over. I've never heard it before. That line in the song, the things I am afraid of are afraid of you. If I could just remember that, I would be standing on the mountaintop all the time without any doubt whatsoever that miracles are going to happen in my life. They must, because they are gifted to me in alignment with what I believe and what I know to be true. And so this idea and this concept and this practice of reflecting every day and watching for the miracles to occur is not idle practice. It is not just some little trick that we're going to use. We're going to trick God into giving some miracles in our lives. No, I don't think so. Right? Spirit is simply aligning with law, the way things happen, and based on what you believe and what you desire. And so in the last couple of weeks, we've been laying that foundation and really kind of stepping into it a little bit, just a little bit, in order to be more aware. In order to watch and notice how easy it is when we get out of our own way and when we pay attention to what we are choosing and watching what we are choosing or desiring come forward and present itself right in front of us, maybe in ways we didn't even expect. And so there's been this little theme. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but there's been this little theme about mountains the last couple of weeks. You know, ain't no mountain high enough to keep God away from us. Climb every mountain. If you want to really identify what is yours to do or to have, you've got to climb a lot of other mountains and see, oh no, that's too hard, or oh no, I don't really want to do that. So climb every mountain. And this morning, I'm inviting you to think like a mountain. Now, some of you who are very literal, I love you. And I know that you're thinking, Tracy, mountains can't think. They don't have a brain. They don't process information. Well, maybe not in the same way that we do when we think about our human brain. But when I say think like a mountain, I am reminded that a mountain knows what it is, and it is not trying to be a river. It is not trying to be a coyote. It is not trying to be a toddler. It's not trying to be anything but, in fact, it's not even trying to be a mountain. It knows its mountainness and it stands there, and no matter what happens, if the wind is blowing or the weather is unpredictable or there is a storm, or even if there are human beings doing things that irritate it and leave marks on its body, the mountain is still, I am mountaining. I am a mountain. I shall not be distracted. I shall not be afraid. I will simply be the best mountain that I can be today, no matter what. What if we thought that way? I am here to be the best I can be. I am here to give my gifts into the world. I am here to be an example of the wisdom and the joy and the beauty of God. I am here to experience all of the insanity of humanity, and I shall not be moved from that purpose because I don't know what's going to happen 5 hours from now. However, I don't have to know that, because all I need to know is that together, Spirit and I can not only handle it, we will live it together and create something that maybe has never been created before. Now, I'm going to invite you, if you're able to do so, to stand up if you know that kind of faith. Have you ever used that kind of faith to achieve something in your life or to explore something? That faith that is, I am a mountain that will not be moved, because God and I can do it together. If you have ever experienced that, seriously, stand up, right? Yeah. And if you have done that at least once in your life, you can do it every day. You can sit down. I just wanted some visual, because I have bright lights in my face. I can't see your faces, right? But I know there are people in the room who have thought like a mountain when they were faced with a cancer diagnosis, who have stood like a mountain when they were going through a divorce and had to create a new life. I know there are people in the room who have had people they love die and feel like, I don't know how I will carry on. But Spirit and I will find a way. That is what it means to think like a mountain. And when you think like a mountain, you begin to take action. And no matter what action you take, you begin to see results. And those results start adding up and adding up and adding up and adding up. And then one day you look around and you're like, it's a miracle! We did it. And I was trying to think of a story in my own life. And of course, then I got flooded with 55 stories. It's like, Tracy, you pick one. And I did. But last Sunday, I was reminded of a story that is not my personal story, but it's all of our stories. If you want to know what it means and what it looks like when you think like a mountain and you don't know what the end result is actually going to look like, all you have to do is picture this room. Just look around. Look up at the quilts. Look at the chairs. Look at the people. And be reminded, you are the demonstration of a miracle that began a couple of decades ago. And if you don't know the story, I want to give you a 3-minute version of it. Through the experience and the voice of Jan Jan. So Jan, would you come forward and... Jason, would you turn on the podium mic? Of course you have a prop, and I'll be glad to be your Vanna White. Give me this.
And some odd date events because I can't lean over. I've had a little eye thing going on.
Podium mic is on if you prefer the podium.
Oh, that's good. Yes. Oh, that's good. Okay. It's a miracle. All right. I wanted to talk for 3 minutes, no more, about the power of eight. All right. And here are their names. If I tear up, I'll get over it. All right, Bev Allen, Sonia Harriford, Jan July, Gigi Benno, Glenda Bell, Janelle, and I cannot think of her name, Rain St. Clair, and me. In 1990s, there was a mastermind group that met in my living room. And the majority of this group of eight, I'll cry, looking at Tracy. The majority of our group of eight had an intention of this church, this beautiful church. We wanted somewhere for people to go that embraced the new thinking, the new thought that was coming through so many people. And we wanted it here in Wimberley. And we met once a week at 4:00 for about an hour. And our guideline was the mastermind and how we passed the feather. And stated our clear intention of our desire of the heart. We paid attention to what our discontent was, that we didn't have a place to gather for new thought principles to be discussed with people that we trusted. So we listened to that discontent in our heart as we stated our intention. And one thing after another happened. Bev Allen received her Social Security. And so her thing that she had wanted all of her life was to have a place where people could come and express themselves. Indigenous tribe people, the unity people, the science of mind people, all God's children could come free. And because of her Social Security money, she was able to begin, ta-da, my visual aid, the Harmony House. There are people sitting here today, raise your hand if you did, Jean Newsom, Richard, okay, if you visited this beautiful little place. All right, downtown Wimberley, we gathered. We didn't have a Sunday school. So we just let Buddy Wilson's and Holly's kids just run in town. That was Sunday school. And they could go to all the, everywhere. Well, you know, they did. It was so much fun. They loved Sunday school. Yes. And so we met until, now here's my analogy. We built the Harmony House on sand. And eventually there was a flood and washed it all away. And then we moved, and I'm going to take liberty here, we moved to a stable. Some people call it a barn. Now, we know that there's some miracles in our past that started in a stable, don't we? Okay. And it's there we were in a stable. The sand. Okay, so we moved to the stable, and then mountaintop. Yep. And here we are today on a mountaintop. It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
If that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. They didn't know what it was going to look like. They didn't know this beautiful property was ever going to be available. They didn't know there were going to be quilts of the 12 powers on the wall. They didn't know you or you or you or you or me would be in this room today in October of 2022. They didn't know any of that, but they were thinking like a mountain. We want a place where our new thought philosophy can be shared, where spiritual principle can be discussed and experienced and learned and practiced. And we don't know what that's going to actually look like, but we know. We know, and we are willing to live in alignment with that knowing. And look what happened. And what is happening. Now, this follows a long tradition that unconsciously, although we can use it consciously, can be followed. If you pay any attention to, or if you've ever had the opportunity to learn much about the story or the history of the Unity Movement, then you know that Charles and Myrtle Fillmore actually were thinking like a mountain as well. In the founding of Unity, in the story of Unity by James Dillard Freeman, he writes about and captures the history before there was real Unity and what was happening in the Fillmore's lives and then through the founding. And he shares a couple of things. Quote, "The Fillmores did not deliberately set out to found an organization. Mrs. Fillmore set out first to find healing for herself. Having found that, then she wanted to share her discovery with others. And she found that people wanted that discovery as much as she wanted to give it to them. People hearing of the change in her came to her and asked for her help." And many years later, as they were building, as the Fillmores were building by the practices and the principles and how to use them and beginning to teach, all of those things were happening, and they made a dedication to each other, which I think is one of the most amazing examples of thinking like a mountain that I can imagine. They made a dedication and covenant to each other and to themselves, and they did not share it publicly. So I want you to think about, what is it that you are willing to commit to creating and being in your life? You don't have to shout it to the world, but you have to be crystal clear within yourself that you and God, you and Spirit together are going to do this. This is what Myrtle and Charles Fillmore committed to each other. We, Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore, husband and wife, hereby dedicate ourselves, our time, our money, all we have, and all we expect to have, to the Spirit of Truth, and through it to the Society of Silent Unity. it being understood and agreed that the said Spirit of truth shall render unto us an equivalent for this dedication in peace of mind, health of body, wisdom, understanding, love, life, and an abundant supply of all things necessary to meet every want without our making any of these things the object of our existence. In the presence of the conscious mind of Christ, this seventh day of December, 1892, signed by Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore. They didn't know what it was going to look like. They had no idea. Freeman goes on to write this. The Fillmores held to their ideal. They were doing God's work. They were not doing it to enrich themselves. They were doing it because they believed in God and wanted to help others find him and his blessings. They wanted to do this work in a way that would enable them to help the most people, to help people when they were in need. They did not see how they could set a price on their work, for that might result in the exclusion of some of those who needed help most of all. And it was not they, but God, who did the work. So how could they put a price on God's work? Jesus helped those who came to him freely and with no thought of charge. They could do no less. What is it in your life that you would do, will do, because you can't see yourself doing anything else? At this stage of your life, what is most important? Remember, there's every fear that comes up for you. You don't have to be afraid of it, because your fears are afraid of the power that actually is living your life and working through you as much as you will allow it. And so I want to take this into a little bit of a prayerful moment. I really want to anchor this before I end the talk. So simply take a deep breath and exhale and release anything that is a distraction right here and right now. And remember that there is one power in the universe, and it is operating as you. One power, one wisdom, one love, one joy. Breathing that in. What is the mountain that is deep inside your heart calling you to do, or to be, or to experience? What is it within you? And maybe it's just a whisper. But it's beckoning to you to follow its path. Don't resist. Accept. What is it whispering to you that must happen for you to experience that which your heart is calling for, yearning for? What is it? Listen. The wisdom of spirit is whispering to you right now. Maybe you are hearing it in your mind. Maybe you are feeling it in your heart. Maybe it is just a sensation of the tingling of your toes or the vibration coming through your body. But listen. Your heart is calling you to experience something fabulous, wonderful. Hold on to that. And in your mind, repeat after me in silence. Just think it. And repeat in your mind, I am ready to receive my miracles. I am ready to receive my miracles. I am ready to receive my miracles. And when you are ready, with Curtis playing in the background, join me in whispering, I am ready to receive my miracles. 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 Are you ready? Are you ready? When are you ready? I am ready to receive my miracles. Let that sink in. Let the music ground it into every cell of your body now. I am ready to receive my miracles now. And as you breathe and come back into this space, and the lights begin to bring us back into this current moment, I invite you to take this practice into the week with you. Remember what came up in these last 7 minutes. And daily ask yourself, what's the mountain in my heart calling for me to do or to be or to practice? Capture 5 or 6 things. Capture 5 or 6 things that must happen for you to experience this miracle. And then every day, all week, affirm, I am ready to receive my miracles. Can you do that? Will you do that? Then say with me, amen. And so it is.